Well, tell us a little bit about your story, because, I mean, you have a tremendous story yourself, a legacy to maintain.
You know, it's really bizarre because it wasn't a planned thing. It wasn't something that I would have ever imagined being in radio. But I felt an obligation simply because of something that happened to me politically, which was losing my speech. And as time went on, I took on a challenge. And I've said this before on the radio, so if you guys have heard this story, you might like this version, because I don't know which version comes out each time. You know, senior moments kind of thing. Our family was the NBC affiliate in Havana. And it started in 1933, Angel Cambó, which is brother of Rafael Cambó, who's my grandfather, who I've never met. Never met any of my grandparents. And he didn't have the vision for television by the 54, 55, 56. And people probably know the story more now, the modern story, which is Gore Mestre became Angel Cambó's partner. Some people say that Rafael was also a money man in there. My grandfather was more known for a water distillery, which, you know, was very scandalous in Havana to get fresh water. And he brought water from Banes, un manantial that he had there. Well, anyway, all these years went by, and Angel Cambó never achieved that dream of doing it all over again in an exilio. So 60 years go by. I get involved in the political wrangle-tangle here as a local activist to build Mast Academy. And I run for PTA president in the K-8 Center to elevate that conversation. I already been writing articles that were kind of caustic and abrasive, truth to power kind of stuff. And my father already had sat on the writing charter committee to write the municipality's charter and to incorporate Key Biscayne. So kind of for a Cuban's founding father of Key Biscayne.
Right.
And my mom, it's a fact, you know, proven by records, that my mom is the one who named Key Biscayne the village. I'm sure other people wanted that name as well, but it sure as hell wasn't going to be city or town, okay? So my mom felt it was Pedro y Pablo, you know, were fishermen. Therefore, this had to be the village. And she screamed it from the hallways on the very first meeting, as my father's leaving out the door for the first charter meeting. And the very first motion, obviously, was, let's name our city. And my father proposed a motion to the village, and it passed. It was a group of five, another Cuban and three fine Americans who gave Cubans the right to form a city in the great nation that is the United States of America. So it only made sense that the year I did this activism to finally get us a high school after 60 years of asking for it, I would pull every single political game I've learned through my father and Jorge Mascanosa, and my mom was also the patroness of moving through the Senate Radio Martí.
Wow.
Because my mom was very proficient in English. And Mascanosa had her on the board of directors for the Radio Martí PAC. And then there was a regular board of men, you know, macho men, the macho first. And then my mom was like his queen. But guess what? My mom's English was flawless because she was a court reporter in Cuba. So English was, she was just as proficient in English as she was in Spanish. So no accent. So obviously in 1982, when this is start coming to fruition, to get the money to build Radio Martí and project it into Cuba, transmit it there, she got those, I think it was 6 or 7 votes from the Democrats to join all the Republicans in the Senate, because we were a minority at the time, yeah. Republicans were. And so that's radio too. So I'm stuck. So between those two things, I was given a tip by a Cuban dissident priest who got his idea rejected from him from a church, tells me in front of a Christmas tree stand, I'm buying a Christmas tree, and I'm in a golf cart, so it's easy to approach me.
Right.
And the story is really cool because of what he says to me. So, and in broken English, and I go, no, me puedes hablar en español si quiere. No, no, yo sigo en inglés. Ay, no joda. Tú no eres Juan Bautista de Key Biscayne. And I go, no, yo no soy Juan Bautista de Key Biscayne, pero yo tengo mi cabeza. And he goes, oh, I think that school thing, you should do it again, but with a radio station.
Oh.
And I go, what? He goes, yeah. Will you consider that? Because these people just told me no, and they fired me.
Oh,
in the church. Imagine. And I go, I can have a radio station? Now I'm thinking, se me cool, hold my legacy coming before me. I have an obligation. And me va a costar un dineral, but I'm going to do it. And he goes, speak to this person. He pulls out his cell phone and gives me some Americano with the FCC. Retired FCC attorney who's now in the private sector getting licenses. Yes? I'm here with Father and, Pastor. Sorry, I'm Catholic, but we all priests are priests. Pastor tells me that I can have a radio station. And he goes, well, you know, gives me the whole classic attorney thing. And I go, well, you know, send me the $8,000 application fee and wait a couple years. I make sure that all the T's are crossed and the dots are crossed to assure you to win the lottery. Your chances are, give me your zip code. I said, 33149. Oh, you have a very strong chance of winning because who's going to compete against you? And I go, shh. And that's exactly what happened. 2 years later, in 2015, I got a license to turn on 94.5 FM. And I was really blessed. And look at the number, 94 in the middle of the dial. It's not 107 something, and it's not, you know, 92 something. No, it's right there in the middle, sweet spot with all the reggaeton and magic and all that. So the activism comes out of me again. Here I am again after the whole Mass Academy thing. I'm here again, basically asking for an antenna on 10-story buildings. You know how many times I got rejected? Perseverance. The Maduro in me tells me, keep on going. 20 buildings told me to go fly a kite.
I'm going
to
tell you a little bit more so you don't forget it.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring you a picture of him here. Un paso más y llegamos.
Yes.
Remember, that's the theme.
Si, seguiremos adelante, más canosa.
The theme of the Cuba Sugar Kings, because my father wanted to have the first international thing, but it's the same motto that helps everybody to persevere. When life gets rough, which we all go through it, that thought and a lot of prayer gets you through it. Un paso más llegamos. But tell me also about you, because you had a big conversion also.
If you're talking about my Emmaus conversion, I was one of those who I got rejected at Belen. I was a dropout of Belen. They threw me out of my junior year. I graduated from high school right away through exam. So the hell was my senior year. There goes the basketball career. There goes everything. Those dreams are gone. And therefore, I separated myself from Jesus Christ for no reason. Because my mom was a very religious lady. And she was very avid on the Bible. And she loved to give Bible courses. And all her friends would come to read the Bible with her. So what the hell is my excuse? So me largué. A lot of that has to do with love and girls. But for the longest time, I was distant from God, and I would go to Sunday Mass sparingly, only when I felt obligated, because my mom would say, mijo, ¿cuándo fue la última vez que fuiste a misa? Mom, you know, and I would go. And all of a sudden, I get a great call. Actually, it was in a restaurant, and I'm just approached at the table. I'm with my parents, here on the key, and he goes, Manny, come on, man. I need you. That's it. The crusade. Here I go. Another crusade. This is November. No, this is July 1999. Come with me. He takes me to Iñaki Salvisitoria, Vasquez, and some other notables there. Jose Valentin. Great bunch from... what's the church right by the baseball stadium?
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine. God. Yes. So in your moment, okay, and I go to, and as a retreat, and I go there. Flabbergasted. Guess who shows up on Sunday?
Bishop Roman.
You got it. Right from his bedroom. Because we were right there at the LaSalle facility there. And I'm blown. I flip my hat. I'm praying for Al Cardenas. No, Al Cardenas shows up to talk, who was my father's attorney at the time and business partner. And I was praying for, no, I might be confusing that with the first retreat of Key Biscayne, because I got to go back to the crusade. So Rafael Rabasa, our mutual friend.
Great guy.
Yeah. I love him dearly.
And doctor.
Yes, I love him dearly. And he was in Belen 2 years ahead of me. He had already graduated, went to Georgetown. Actually was a star goalie, believe it or not, as a walk-on. soccer goalie for the club, Georgetown Club soccer team.
Oh, wow.
That was the first years before they became a legitimate soccer team. But you had to be a club first to show the NCAA that you could actually organize it. Well, anyway, he told me that story later in life. But anyway, he was a wonderful athlete. He was a cross-country. He brought pole vaulting to Belen. He made his own pole vault. He made his own hole. He did it in the Las Aguas on the 8th Street. You know, I always adored him and his tenacity. And he was a couple of years older than me. So anyway, he gave me the crusade. Come on, we're going to bring this to Key Biscayne. We're going to bring a mace to Key Biscayne. Oh, all of a sudden, God's back in the game. What's up? So I did it. And In November 1999, I said to my Emmaus brothers, look, please help me recite by Sunday, which is the mass where the families come. Please help me recite in order the Ten Commandments. Oh. So I'm going to apply myself these 3 days and memorize, and I'm going to do it. So sure enough, I get up and after the mass, you know how we all discuss right. Our testimony of being retreatants, and I stand up and I pull it off. And I can't do that today. I can't do the Ten Commandments in order today. Right. I'm going to miss one of them, some of them. And lo and behold, I realized that the most important commandment I already had accomplished, which was honoring my father and mother in building this building that we are now sitting in and fighting for the expansion of the hardware store that we own below here. And because of that, God rewards me with winning the lottery, building Blink Radio, and it's here on the second floor of 800 Crandon Boulevard.
Oh, my God.
That's my story. And it started with the mayor's.
And before we finish,
yeah,
because we also have a common bond about the island that we love so much.
Yes.
About Cuba.
Yes.
What can we do to get the Cubans here to really work on themselves in order to really, when we go to Cuba, and in Cuba they're praying too,
mm-hmm.
How do we become una Cuba libre y soberana. Román told me before he died, said, George, we got to work on the liberation of Cuban here in Miami also, because Cuba was really never una Cuba libre y soberana. So how do we go about that?
Well, you know, that could be another 30 minutes because my approach is very different than others.
I love your approach.
Yeah, I'm a very involved behind the scenes political, what they call bundler, raise money to get my opinion heard. I've done that only from picking up the baton from my father. And I really didn't do it until 2009 on my own as a host. And it was for the Marco Rubio campaign, December the 9th, 2009. And I started my voyage of getting these people's faces only by maxed out donation. Because my father told me, mijo, I can't really say the bad words he used, but he said, mijo, if you don't max out, ni te miran, right? So either you do it the right way, or they won't listen to you. So the donations always have to be maxed out, permitted by law, which and right now is $4,800 for a Senate campaign. So I did that, and I would raise money with other people, and I wouldn't talk to you if you're going to give me $100. I'm not interested. Go give it to this guy. Go give it to that guy. But me, you're giving me $4,800, or don't give me anything. I'm not interested in lower monies. Why? Because I can't defend your interests. You're going to give me the champagne opinion anyway with your beer budget. And since I'm maxing out, you got to match me. It's that simple. And I did that. And therefore, it gravitated towards something I wrote about in a book I wrote. And it's called the GitmoFreeZone.com. And Gitmo has a law in it that's in the Platt Amendment. It's in the lease. And it's in the Treaty of Relations of 1934. Anybody else thinks that there's another idea, they are wrong. Okay? This is the idea. And it was 10 years conceived in my head before Tunnels to Towers in 2001. Okay? Article 5 of the Treaty of Relations says, if Cuba cannot control its waterborne diseases, I think I talked about this in our first interview.
A little bit.
It kind of gravitates from baseball. But here we are. You asked the question, not me. We have the right to eminent domain, the base. Now, the base is larger than all of Dade County, with a beautiful, deepest port in all of Cuba, deeper than Mariel. Therefore, nuclear submarines, military, no fly over here, baby. and we build the base with a no-fly zone. Tokyo, we don't even come here with your MiGs because we're going to take it down. Then we fill it with veterans that are disabled. We turn that beautiful athletic field that they've actually made beautiful for damn Muslims, terrorists that are in jail there, which is 70 acres. I mean, I think it's, 70 acres of a 128-square-mile base. 128 square miles. Okay. Dade County is 123 square miles. And Dade County doesn't have the bay in the middle. It has a bay to the south, but it's not in the middle of those 128. That's what makes it magical, because there's two costas. So there's two ocean fronts. There's two malecones, mini Cuba. And the original capital of Cuba was Santiago. So kind of the energy is only asking for Havana to be the old city of tourism, like the old San Juan de Puerto Rico. And Guantanamo becomes a future capital of Cuba after 50 to 100 year of American development for veterans, because it has to be about the gringos.
Right.
It's theirs, right? And the Article 5 of the treaty has already been activated by cholera and dengue, waterborne diseases. And the CDC's already acknowledged it with travel warnings to people flying to Cuba. A lot of people say that the original origins is very mysterious. The original origins of COVID, from the standpoint of symptoms and phlegma and cough and tight chest, was originated from Cuba as a result of a spillage of United Nations portalettes in Port-au-Prince that those Cuban medical service, when Cuba sends medical missions to impoverished areas, right, they came back to Cuba con esa infección, because they were pouring the portalettes into the river, because no one would come to take the stuff away. You can imagine the mess that was. Well, I remember a person used to serve me coffees every morning here at the famous Oasis Cafe in pre-Key Biscayne, back in the day when there's a little bit of Hialeah in the middle of Key Biscayne. It's called Oasis Cafe.
I don't remember that. Wasn't there a motel or something right by it?
Well, farther down the street.
Oh, okay.
But it was an old mermaid. It was called the Old Mermaid Dry Cleaner. That's, and the building, right, was a super fortified building because it didn't have pilings and didn't have footings. So it was a massive concrete bunker underground as well as above ground. No storm was going to turn it. Well, anyway, Cubans bought it many years ago, I believe it was in the early 70s, and it became a cafeteria. It was doing 10,000 a day, it was a wonderful machine up there. There was a guy who served me coffee there. I'm having a senior moment because I got to remember his name, but perhaps he doesn't want me to say so. But he went over after Hurricane Ike with his mom. He came back feeling okay, but she felt incredibly ill after taking care of their family for 2 weeks after Hurricane Ike. Now, remember, Hurricane Ike starts in La Bahía de Nipe, which in La Biblia dice que la resurrección de la libertad de Cuba, del espíritu de Cuba, through the famous lore of la, outside the Bible, but the famous lore of La Virgen de la Caridad, right, she shows up to the sailors desde La Bahía de Nipe.
Right.
And you combine that somehow spiritually with the resurrection of the spirit of Cuba's freedom, desire to be free. Ike is that storm that's described in the Bible. And it starts the entire length of Cuba, that everybody thought that Fidel scared the storms away, because no storm has ever crossed Cuba. It's always cut through Cuba.
Really?
All the previous storms have cut through Cuba from north to south.
Right.
This one actually goes from east to west. And it demolishes Cuba. But guess what? Abre lo canterillado otra vez. And people started eating the dead fish after the storm. And this disease comes out of that. Respiratory illness. And of course, the Cubans cover it up. The CDC of Cuba is not very honest, I'm sure.
Right.
Remember, we also offered them aid after Ike, and they want nothing to do with it. They'd rather have their people starve and die than have the American Red Cross over there distributing food and starting the whole communications with dissidents and the whole thing. So forget about that part of bringing life to Cuba that way. Why? Because Cubans, by nature, even though I was born in the United States, I think I'm more Cuban than my brothers who were born there. I know that we have a certain problem that it's part of our nature, and that is everybody wants to be the Bobby Maduro. And just one person is Bobby Modera. Everybody else is who loves baseball is not Bobby Modera. Well, the same in politics. Todo mundo quiere ser José Martí. Bueno, coño, José Martí wasn't even a politician. Right. He's a freaking poet. Okay? We are like that. And that's why we suffer so many dictatorships in our short history. People don't know this about Cuba, and maybe you need to have this perspective too. When Fidel Castro comes to power in Cuba, it's the same age as Israel. And look at all the problems Israel's had. They're the same age as an independent nation. It's growing pains.
Right.
Who's to say that Washington, Jefferson, and John Adams were actually legitimately elected president in those colonies? It was Pena. You know, what the hell are the ballots? Who counts the ballots? You know what I mean? And I believe that if we do it by affect, not effect, we could develop the base, create an American city in Guantanamo called gitmofreezone.us. You can go to the WSQF radio website and click on The Fiscals, which is the name of the book, and look for gitmofreezone.us. And that is the end of the story.
That's a beautiful, beautiful story.
But that's my angle. And I've taken to Mayra Elvira. I've taken it to Ted Cruz. I've taken it to Marco Rubio. I've taken it to Governor Scott. I've taken it to Ron DeSantis.
And what happens?
And they all tell me the same thing. That'll never happen. So if your idea is better than mine, let me know, because here on Blink Radio, I just don't think so. So blink once, I said it. Blink twice, you missed it. Stay free, my friends. Thank you very much, Jorge Maduro. God bless your father. May he be looking down on you, because you are also honoring your father and mother. And that will be the end of the story. So back to Led Zeppelin, The Dancing Days. Take care, my friends. If you like our programming on WSQF 94.5 in Key Biscayne, you can also hear us very far away nationwide, WSQFradio.com. And if you like our audio files and our subject matter, subscribe to YouTube, Mac on the Rock Rampage. Take care and stay free.